And for the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Alaska is getting an infusion of nearly $125 million to build and expand solar energy projects. That's according to the Alaska Beacon. The money comes from the Solar for All program under the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The funding is split between two projects, one of them a partnership between the Alaska Energy Authority and the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, both state agencies, and the other a tribal project led by the Tanana Chiefs Conference, a consortium of Interior Alaska tribal governments. The two Alaska projects were among 60 selected nationwide for a total of $7 billion in funding. The money for the solar project comes from the EPA's Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, which was created through the Inflation Reduction Act back in 2022. According to the agency's regional office, the money will support new solar projects that will make the power grid more resilient, while also creating jobs and lowering energy costs for individual households. The funding that went to the state will be used to set up a grant program that will support communities that want to install new solar arrays, including battery storage, while the tribal money will be used to subsidize residential rooftop solar. The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium will partner on that project. The consortium has been involved in solar energy for years through its energy program. Through its partnerships, communities such as Hughes and Manly Hot Springs have been able to use solar energy as an alternative to diesel. The Alaska programs are expected to last 5 years, with the first year devoted to planning. And the Juneau Assembly rejected a symbolic resolution calling for a bilateral peace agreement between Israel and Palestine in a 2-5 vote last night. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, testifiers say they were given false hope by some assembly members.
Residents packed the assembly chambers during the meeting, and more than a dozen testified in favor of the resolution. Many wore the colors of the flag of Palestine and shirts with the message, "Cease fire now." After the vote, which came at nearly 11 p.m., multiple people with a group called Juno for Palestine said they felt misled by the assembly.
I feel powerless. Like, what can I do? I can talk to my assembly members. I can talk to my legislators. We talked with Mary Peltola a couple of months ago. Not a single person is listening to us.
That's Sonia Kumar, who is one of the multiple residents who has attended assembly meetings in recent months to advocate for a resolution. Dozens of cities in the U.S. have passed local resolutions calling for a ceasefire. And last month, the Anchorage Assembly passed one to, quote, support negotiations which will lead to lasting peace in the Israel-Hamas conflict. George Partlow said he was testifying Monday night on behalf of his great-grandchildren.
When my great-grandchildren read of the history of this time and of the suffering of other children, Palestinians and Israelis, and ask, what did you do about it? I hope the answer will be, at least we spoke out against the violence.
Assemblymember Paul Kelly introduced the resolution, but he ultimately voted against it. In an interview after the meeting, he says he should have brought it to a committee first so it could have been discussed and workshopped before going to the full assembly.
In retrospect, I probably should have asked it to be introduced out of committee. I do regret that, yes.
Some testifiers were upset with Kelly, along with Assemblymember Wade Bryson, who they said was playing on his phone instead of listening during the meeting. Assemblymember Christine Wall has long advocated for the Assembly to support a ceasefire resolution. She said it's the Assembly's job to listen to their constituents and their concerns.
Local voices speaking up is actually the only thing that is going to change the trajectory of our government's actions on this. And you know, we do have a responsibility to be responsive to the people coming and speaking to us.
Assemblymember Greg Smith said he didn't believe the Assembly should be weighing in on international issues. Despite that, he was one of the two members who voted in favor.
We all want peace in the Middle East. I think we all want people to stop dying in Gaza. But the Juneau Assembly should, I believe, focus its time and energy on things that we can actually make an actual impact on. And I have concerns on precedent for this.
Kumar says she and others a part of Juno for Palestine plan to continue to testify for city action at future meetings. In Juno, I'm Clarice Larson.
And now for Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Malene Babcock, treasurer of the Gastineau Historical Society, has lived in Juno for more than 80 years. Her personal history is deeply intertwined with the history of the city and the state. from the traumatic loss of her grandparents in Juneau's 1936 landslide to her long career studying salmon, Babcock reflects on her life in Southeast Alaska.
Well, my name is Malene Babcock, and my grandparents, Hugo and Hilya Malene Peterson, were both killed in the building, and my mother, who was Lillian Peterson Babcock, survived. She was probably one of the first ones that was rescued because she was on the south end of the slide and right at the very edge when she was hit by the mudslide coming down. And it was the worst disaster that has ever occurred within the city and borough of Juneau. My mother was in the hospital for 2 weeks and then released from the hospital. She talked about it very rarely. My grandparents were Finnish immigrants. There's a lot of stoicism that goes throughout that culture. So they immigrated to Juneau late in 1913. My uncle Elmer and my grandfather were miners, and they both worked for the AJ mine. My mother was born on November 9th of 1914 and grew up here, went through high school here, and she obtained a secretarial job with a fellow by the name of Frank Dufresne, who was the head of the Alaska Fish Commission at that time. And he did all the arrangement for the funeral and everything else for her parents, which was absolutely amazing. She later married a fellow by the name of Doug Babcock. My dad, who was an early member of the Territorial Sportsmen, plus being one of the first Taku River rats, and he notably helped in some of the early experimentation for salmon and salmon eggs that led to DIPAC. Years later, when I went to school at Oregon State and then up to Fairbanks for my master's degree, where I took ichthyology and fisheries courses, our textbook was by Frank Dufresne, and it was called Alaska Fishes. I mean, it's absolutely amazing the webs that we turn, that we find out later, you know, and that end up surprising you. So I went to work at the Auk Bay Lab in 1969. There were not many women biologists. I think there were two when I started to work there. And I spent many a summer up in King Salmon in Bristol Bay. And I spent 7 years walking the beaches of Prince William Sound, working with the effects of hydrocarbons after Exxon Valdez oil spill. At any rate, it was just kind of a neat career, and I'm very proud of myself.
And now for a look at the weather. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-30s and light winds. That's for both downtown Juneau and the Mendenhall Valley. And tomorrow, we are looking forward to some sun with highs in the mid-50s, also with light winds. That will continue through tomorrow night with mostly clear skies and sun through the rest of the week. We're not expecting rain again until Friday and into the weekend. So get out there and enjoy it if you can. That's all from the KTOO newsroom for today. For more stories, you can check out our website at ktoo.org.